Hey everyone, and welcome back to True Crime Cases. I'm your host, Allison Mendes, and today I'm going to tell you about a woman who was held captive in an underground prison for 24 years by her own father. This is the story of Elizabeth Fritzl. Joseph Fritzl was born on April 9th of 1935 in Amstetten, Austria. And at this time, Austria was still under the control of Nazi Germany. Joseph's father left him and his mother when Joseph was just 4 years old, and his father would later die in the war. Joseph's mother, Maria, was described as abusive. Joseph later stating in interviews that she did not love him, that she would often leave him to cry if he was hurt as a little boy and would regularly beat him and leave him alone for hours on end, starting at a very young age. Joseph's psychiatrist said that he spent most of his childhood in a severe state of anxiety, and Maria reportedly had suffered a divorce due to the fact that she had produced no children throughout this first marriage, and it is believed that she had Joseph as a means of proving that she was not infertile. They later call him like a proof child. Now, this left Maria with a child that she never really wanted for the right reasons in the first place, and she ended up viewing Joseph as more of a burden and something that she was forced to look after now. In court, Joseph's psychiatrist offered an example of when a bombing raid took place in his hometown of Amstetten during World War II, and Maria refused to take shelter, sending Joseph down into the underground shelter on his own when he was just a little boy. And Joseph reportedly suffered incredible anxiety from this situation, being alone underground and not knowing when the air raid would end. And not just that, but he didn't know if, you know, his only person in the world, his mom, would even be alive when the bombing was over. The psychiatrist said that because of his upbringing, Joseph developed coping strategies that included, quote, pushing his feelings into the cellar of his soul, end quote. She referred to him as a volcano and explained that violent sex had provided the main outlet for his pent-up feelings that he was otherwise unable to express in a healthy and normal way. In 1956, when Joseph was 21 years old, he met and married 17-year-old Rose Marie, and he would later have a family with her consisting of 3 sons and 4 daughters. Now, a little bit after their marriage began in 1967, Joseph broke into the Lynn's home of a nurse student while her husband was out of town for work, I believe, and he actually raped this woman, holding her at knife point, a knife to her throat, and threatening that he would kill her if she made any noises. And according to a press release the same year, he was also named as a suspect in a case of attempted rape of a 21-year-old woman, and he was known for indecent exposure. Now, Joseph was arrested and sentenced to 18 months in prison. He only served 12 and got out early. And according to Austrian law, your criminal record is expunged after 15 years. And so that's exactly what happened. Neither of these women, neither of these victims were publicly named from what I could find. And something else that I found weird that I couldn't find was really a lot about Joseph and Rosemary's marriage. You'll see throughout this story that she is kind of oblivious to everything. And there's not much explanation for it. Like, it doesn't really say what Rosemary might have been preoccupied with or if she had suspicions. I know that she remains very quiet and doesn't offer to testify. I haven't found any interviews with her or anything like that. She has been very quiet about this entire situation. And likewise, I couldn't find anything for how this was explained to Rosemary when Joseph went to prison for rape and attempted rape and indecent exposure, clearly with another woman. I could not find how that was explained, and what her reaction was to that. But we're going to get into Elizabeth's story now. So Elizabeth Fritzl was born on April 6th of 1966. She was the fourth of seven children for Joseph and Rosemary. And Joseph reportedly began abusing Elizabeth at the age of just 11 years old. And that would be in the year of 1977. Now, there's not a whole lot of information about Elizabeth's childhood other than the fact that she was abused sexually, physically by her father. But I did see several articles that said Elizabeth did run away from home on several occasions, which makes sense considering what her home life consisted of. But she was always returned home. Either police would find her after her parents reported her as a runaway, or Joseph himself would go out and find her and bring her home. Now, Elizabeth completed her compulsory education when she was 15 years old, and she began a course to become a waitress. In January of 1983, she was about halfway through this course, and she ran away from home again, this time with a friend of hers, and she made it as far as Vienna, where she went into hiding. And this stint away from home would only last about 3 weeks. Then she was found by police, and yet again, she was returned home. And once she was home, she rejoined the course that she was previously attending to become a waitress. And she finished the course in the middle of 1984. And after this, she was offered a job in the nearby town of Linz. Now, sometime in 1978, Joseph applied for a building permit for a, quote, extension with a basement, end quote. In 1983, the building inspectors visited the site and verified that the new extension had been built according to the dimensions that were specified on the permit when Joseph had applied. And later on, Joseph would illegally enlarge the room by excavating the space for a much larger basement. And there would be an area of this basement, from what I can understand, that is actually concealed within the basement. And it's kind of referred to as the cell. And this basement is very detailed. I will include some pictures. There's like some floor plans that people have drawn up, and there's some pictures, and I'll put those over on our Instagram so you guys can check that out and kind of get a better understanding of it. But the concealed part of this basement had a 5 meter long, which is 16 feet, corridor and a storage area with three small open cells connected by very narrow passageways. There was a basic cooking area and bathroom facilities, and there was two sleeping areas, which had two beds each in them. Now, this cell had two points of access. There was a hinged door that weighed 1,100 pounds, which is thought to have become unusable over the years because of its weight. And then there was a metal door, which was reinforced with concrete, and it was on steel rails, and that one weighed 650 pounds, and it was 3.3 feet high, and 2 feet wide. It was located behind a shelf in Joseph's basement workshop, and it was protected by an electronic code entered using a remote control unit. Now, in order for someone to reach this door, you would have to cross through five other locking basement rooms. And this is the area to get to the area where Elizabeth and her children would end up being held. 8 doors in total would need to be unlocked. And 2 of those doors were extra secure with electronic locking devices. Now, on August 28th of 1984, shortly after Elizabeth had turned 18 years old, Joseph asked for her help down in the basement that he had been building in the family's backyard. Joseph said that he needed help with the last portion of the basement, which included hanging the door, and Elizabeth agreed to help him out. So she held the door for Joseph while he fitted it onto its frame, and then once it was hung, that's when he attacked her and held an ether-soaked towel up to Elizabeth's face until she fell unconscious, at which point he locked her in the basement. Now, with no one else being aware of what had actually happened to Elizabeth, her mother obviously came to the conclusion that her daughter had disappeared, and she filed a missing persons report, I believe, that same day. And when police began to investigate, Joseph had come up with a story that Elizabeth had run away to join a religious cult, and he had even forced his daughter already to write several fake letters that were addressed to him that basically said in her writing that this was what happened, and telling her family, you know, don't come look for me or else I will flee the country and then you'll really never find me or see me again. And the police bought this. The investigation was closed. Rosemarie believed this, I guess. It's a little crazy to me, but I mean, that's what happened. So the investigation was closed and no one was looking for Elizabeth any longer. Now, Joseph would visit his daughter at a minimum every 3 days, sometimes every single day of the week. During these visits, he would bring her food, supplies, and he would rape her. Throughout her captivity, Elizabeth would end up giving birth to 7 children. On August 30th of 1988, Elizabeth gave birth to her first daughter, who she named Kirsten, followed by a son named Stefan on February 1st of 1990, and another daughter on August 29th of 1992 named Lisa. Now, when Lisa was just 9 months old, Joseph took her from Elizabeth, and Lisa was found outside of the family home upstairs in a cardboard box with a note that was from, quote, Elizabeth, that was basically asking Rosemarie and Joseph to look after the child. And just 2 years later, on February 26th of 1994, Elizabeth gave birth to her 4th child, a little girl named Monica. And at this point, Elizabeth has been begging her father to allow them to expand, you know, that basement. It was too small for the amount of people that were under there. And he finally agrees to let them expand the basement. And they do, from 380 square feet to 590 square feet. And of course, Elizabeth is responsible for this expansion, as well as the first 3 children that were left down in the basement and not taken upstairs. And they reportedly dug soil with their bare hands for years and years. Now, the 4 prisoners were allowed to have a television. They had a radio and a video cassette player. They had a refrigerator and a hot plate so that they could store and cook food down there. And Elizabeth was responsible for teaching the children how to read and write, which she did. Now, in December of 1994, 10-month-old Monica was also taken from her mother, and she was shortly found outside of the entrance, above ground, obviously, at the family home. And shortly after she was found, Rosemarie actually received a call from someone who sounded like her daughter, asking her to take care of this child as well. And Rosemarie does call police at this point about the phone call, saying that she's really shocked that her daughter knows the family's enlisted telephone number and she's confused, but nothing further is really done about this. And it's believed that Joseph either had pre-recorded his daughter's words asking her mom to take care of the kid, or that he had just forced her to make the call herself at that time. Now, Elizabeth went on to give birth to 3 more children, which included twins Alexander and Michael on May 28th of 1996, and Felix on December 16th of 2002. Now, sadly, one of the twin boys, Michael, did not survive, and he passed away shortly after Elizabeth had given birth to him. And his body was removed from the cellar and cremated by Joseph. And the surviving twin, Alexander, was taken upstairs by Joseph at 15 months old and was discovered similarly to his 2 older sisters. And Felix, who would be the last child to be born, remained underground with Elizabeth, Kirsten, and Stefan. Later, Joseph did say that Felix was left down there because his wife couldn't look after another child. They already had too much going on up there. So that was why he made the decision to keep Felix down in the basement with the rest of them. Now, the reason that all these children were found at the home, according to Joseph, was because Elizabeth had escaped that cult that she was at after giving birth to these kids, and that she'd brought them to the family home, needing them to be taken care of. And literally everyone buys this story. Every single person, including Rosemarie somehow. I don't know. But authorities buy this story, and Joseph and Rosemarie are actually listed as the 3 children's legal foster parents. So he's basically just getting away with all this. Now, Joseph had threatened Elizabeth and her other 3 children, saying that if they ever tried to escape or if they disobeyed him in any way, that he had set up a system in which he could release poisonous gas into the basement and they would all die. He also would punish them regularly by turning off all the electricity to the basement, which would leave all of them down there just in complete darkness with spoiling food in the refrigerator. One time I read that he went out of town with his family for a few days, and I think he left the electricity off, and the basement was already disgusting. It wasn't like a fully finished type of situation. I read it was really dirty and muddy, and that water would always leak down there. I read it was super cold in the winters and unbearably hot in the summer. And when he went on that family trip, he left a bunch of food, and I guess it all kind of like went bad and leaked out. And so they were all just sitting down there in literal spoils and just wet and disgusting from everything that was going on down there. And later, Joseph's sister-in-law would recount that he would go into the basement every single morning around 9 a.m. to presumably draw plans for the machines that he sold to firms for a living. And he would often stay in the basement working well into the night, and nobody was allowed to interrupt him. There was also a tenant who rented a room on the ground floor of the home for 12 years, who later would say that they did hear noises coming from the basement. But when they had approached Joseph about it to ask what that was about, Joseph said that the noises were coming from either faulty pipes or the gas heating system, and that he always had an excuse that to them, I guess, made sense. Now, on April 19th of 2008, 24 years after Elizabeth had been lured down to the basement by her father, Kirsten, the oldest daughter, who had been living in the basement her entire life, became extremely, extremely sick. And Elizabeth convinced Joseph to let Kirsten go to the hospital after she had actually like lost consciousness. And he finally agreed. Elizabeth helped him carry Kirsten out of the basement. And this would be the first time that Elizabeth had seen the outside world in 24 years. Immediately after Elizabeth helped her out, Joseph told her to return to the basement, and she listened. She went right back in. Kirsten was taken to the hospital in an ambulance where she was diagnosed with life-threatening kidney failure. And Joseph arrived at the hospital shortly after the ambulance that was carrying Kirsten, where he had explained to the staff that he had just found Kirsten with a note from Elizabeth explaining that she was sick and she needed help. And finally, someone is going to find this story bizarre and they're just not going to buy it. And so one of the doctors actually ends up calling law enforcement on April 21st, just a few days after Kirsten is actually admitted. And once law enforcement becomes involved, a broadcast is sent out through the media asking for the mother of Kirsten to come forward and provide further information about Kirsten's medical history so that the doctors can better care for her. And police also decide to reopen the case on Elizabeth's disappearance as well. And they kind of go back to Joseph asking him what happened again. And he repeats the same story about his daughter running away to join a cult. And he provides the police with another letter, which he says was the most recent letter that he had received from his daughter. And this one was dated for January of that same year. And at this point, the police, they're really just not buying it. And they decide to reach out to a man named Manfred. I'm not going to butcher this last name. Wolfhart. Who was a church officer, and he was also an expert on cults. And Manfred is not buying anything that Joseph is selling. He tells the police right away, I highly doubt the existence of any such religious cult that Joseph is describing. And those letters that he says are from Elizabeth, they sound dictated to me, and they're very oddly written. And something is just not right here. In the meantime, while the police are starting to actually catch on to what's going on, Elizabeth is simultaneously pleading with her father, like, please let me go to the hospital so that she can help with Kirsten and whatever the doctors need from her. And on April 26th of 2008, Joseph actually agrees, and he releases Elizabeth along with the two remaining children, Felix and Stefan. And he takes them all to the hospital where Kirsten is being treated. When the four of them arrived at the hospital, one of the doctors very quickly calls the police to inform them the mom that they had been looking for has actually come forward, and the police arrive shortly after. And at this point, they detain both of them and take them from the hospital over to the police station. Now, once Elizabeth is in police custody, the police want to know what is going on. And Elizabeth only agrees to tell them what has been happening to her if she never has to see her father again. And the police agree to this. So over the next 2 hours, Elizabeth told the police about her capture and her torture, how she had been raped by her father, forced to watch pornographic films, and then reenact them right in front of her own kids, and about the punishments and the threats that they had all endured down there. And shortly after midnight, the police had the information they needed, and Joseph was arrested that night at the age of 73 years old, and he was held on suspicion of serious crimes against the family. On April 27th, Elizabeth and her children were taken into care, along with Rosemarie, who remained adamant that she had absolutely no idea what had been going on in her own backyard for the past 24 years. And from as far as I can find, this is true. I don't see anything where Elizabeth blames her or says anything. I do see something later about Rosemarie being upset with the passiveness, or Elizabeth being upset with Rosemarie's passiveness during her upbringing, because, you know, the abuse didn't start when she was locked in the basement. The abuse started when she was 11 years old. So I just can't think of any excuse for that. But as far as I can tell, she did not know that Elizabeth was being held in that basement. And on April 29th, the police announced that the DNA evidence confirmed that Joseph was in fact the biological father of Elizabeth's children. And in a press release on May 1st, police said that they had found a letter that Joseph had previously forced Elizabeth to write about a year prior that indicated that he may have actually been planning on releasing her. And from the way the letter read, it looked like Joseph was planning on staging some sort of event in which he actually goes and rescues Elizabeth from this cult that she had been at for the past 24 years, and that he was going to bring her home and kind of be the hero of the story, as if. After his arrest, Joseph initially claimed that he had not raped his daughter, but that it was actually all consensual. He tried to paint himself out to be a caregiver of sorts, saying that he often brought flowers to Elizabeth and he had brought books and toys for the children. And he said, you know, that wasn't a prison that they were kept in. It was a bunker. And, you know, we ate meals and watched television as a family. But then he went on to tell investigators that he had actually decided to imprison Elizabeth when she became a teenager and was, quote, no longer listening to him, that she was no longer following the rules that he had put in place. And he said, quote, that's why I had to do something. I had to create a place where I could keep Elizabeth by force, if necessary, away from the outside world, end quote. He noted that perhaps his childhood and the emphasis on discipline when he was growing up had played a role in the situation with his daughter. And this is an explanation that was later looked at as an excuse for him to maybe attempt an insanity defense. And when Joseph reflected on his childhood, he initially referred to his mother as, quote, the best woman in the world, end quote. But later he would be more forthcoming, describing memories of her beating him until he was lying in a pool of his own blood on the floor. And he claimed that he was actually terrified of her and that she was both psychologically and physically abusive. Now, at some point, Joseph said that the roles actually reversed. And once he kind of became older and obviously grew a little bit bigger, I'm assuming, that his mother was actually fearful of him. And eventually he did admit to the police that he actually locked his mother in the attic of their home and bricked up her window, and he kept her there until she died in 1980. And it's not verified when he initially locked her up and how long she was kept in the attic, but I saw a few reports that were speculating that it could have been up to 20 years, which is just insane that he would have, like, prisoners for 45 years or 44 years of his life. That's absurd. Now, Elizabeth gave a videotaped testimony to Austrian prosecutors and the investigators on July 11th of 2008. And this under the same agreement that she would not have to lay eyes on her father again. Therefore, why they videotaped it. On November 13th of 2008, the authorities released an indictment against Joseph and announced that he would be standing trial for the murder of baby Michael, the twin that had passed away shortly after birth, and that he would be facing between 10 years to life imprisonment for that. He would also be charged with rape, incest, kidnapping, false imprisonment, and slavery, which all carried a maximum sentence of 20 years. Now, Joseph's trial began on March 16th of 2009. He pled guilty to all of the charges except for the murder and grievous assault, which was referring to him threatening to gas Elizabeth and the children if they disobeyed him. And Joseph's lawyer opened, asking the jury, you know, not to be swayed by their emotions with this case. He insisted that Joseph was actually, quote, not a monster, that he had even brought Christmas trees down to the underground prison that they'd been forced to live in for the past 24 years. And on the flip side, the prosecutor pushed for a life sentence, giving objects from the basement to the jury to show the living conditions, you know, that the victims had been forced to live in. And it's reported that the jurors actually were like flinching at the smell of the objects because they were so moldy and disgusting, just like the rest of the basement. In addition to this, jurors watched 11 hours of testimony from Elizabeth. And this was all split up into 2-hour increments because the tapes were so hard for the jury to watch. They even had 4 backup jurors on standby in case one of the jury members like couldn't mentally bear to hear any more of the evidence because the case was so bad. Now, along with Elizabeth, her older brother Harold also testified to suffering physical abuse from his father as well. And Rosemary and Elizabeth's children both refused to testify. Now, Elizabeth decided to attend the second day of trial in disguise in preparation for the book that she intended to write. And although she was disguised, I guess Joseph reportedly knew that she was in the courtroom. And it said that when the two made eye contact, that was kind of the end. Like, Joseph broke down and reportedly changed his mind because of this. And the next day, Joseph approached the judge and decided to plead guilty to all of the charges. Now, on March 19th of 2009, after a 4-day long trial, and after Joseph had pled guilty to all the charges of murder by negligence for the death of the twin Michael, as well as decades of enslavement, incest, rape, coercion, and false imprisonment of his daughter, he was sentenced to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole for 15 years. And it said that he accepted this sentence and he chose not to appeal this. He is currently serving out his sentence in Garston Abbey, which is a former monastery that had been converted to a prison in Upper Austria. In May 2017, Joseph changed his last name to Meyerhoff, and it said that they thought that he did this after a prison fight that resulted in several of his teeth getting knocked out, because I'm assuming in Austria, the prisoners probably don't like child rapists there either. And in April of 2019, it was reported that his health was declining and that he didn't really have the will to live anymore. Now, Elizabeth and all 6 of her surviving children were taken into care, as well as Rosemary, her mother. They were housed in a local clinic where they were protected from the outside world so that they could receive the medical and psychological treatment that they needed. They were all given the choice to accept new identities, and Elizabeth and the 3 children that had been held captive underground actually required therapy to help them adjust to the light after they had spent, you know, the children their entire lives in pretty much mostly darkness. They also needed extra treatment to cope with the amount of space that they had. because they were so used to being so cramped up. Kirsten was reunited with her family after she was released from the hospital, and she's expected to make a full recovery. It was later revealed that her and Stefan would need further treatment than, you know, the medical professionals initially thought. Stefan couldn't even walk properly because he was 5'8", and the actual basement was only 5'6", so he was forced to hunch over. He never could stand upright his entire life up to that point. And it's reported that everyday things, just like the dimming of lights or the closing of doors, would send both Kirsten and Stefan into like a full-blown panic attack. The other children who were raised by Rosemarie and Joseph were also treated. They were treated for, you know, anger and resentment from their father lying to them and saying that their mother had abandoned them, and a multitude of other reasons. In late July of 2008, it was reported that Elizabeth had kicked her mother, Rosemarie, out of the villa that the family was staying in. They said that she was reportedly angry with the passiveness of her mother throughout her upbringing, which is very understandable. Kirsten, Felix, and Stefan all learned to swim. All of Elizabeth's children went on and attended a summer camp that had been arranged by firefighters. There were more than 4,000 campers in attendance. And eventually the entire family was moved to an unnamed village in Austria. It was said that the home was kind of like a fortress, so that they could kind of heal and learn to live all together, and stay out of the public eye and away from the paparazzi, because the paparazzi was insane at this time. Elizabeth eventually formed a romantic relationship with a man who had been serving as her bodyguard. It is said that he helped her make an immense amount of progress, and that he lives with her and her children, all of whom he has an incredible bond and relationship with. And with the approval of her doctors, Elizabeth has ended her psychiatric therapies and is said to have moved on with her life. She spends her days shopping. She enjoys driving. She reportedly passed her driving tests like with ease. Spends her days, you know, helping her children with things like homework, and she's made friends with a lot of the locals in the area. On June 28th of 2013, workers filled in the basement where Elizabeth and her three children had been held captive all those years. They filled it up with concrete, and the home was sold in December of 2016, with the buyers stating that they intended to convert the building into apartments. And according to Alan Hall, reporting for Mail Online, Elizabeth's caregiver gave an interview in which they referred to her relationship with the bodyguard Thomas, saying, quote, "This is vivid proof of love being the strongest force in the world," end quote. I just wanted to kind of end that on a happy note for Elizabeth and for her children. There's not much on what they're doing now, but I can kind of tell that they want to be out of the spotlight. And so I chose really not to dig into what exactly they were doing now and kind of respect their privacy. I know that this case was popular even over here in the U.S. And so I can't even imagine what it was like in Austria, but I think that enough of their privacy has been, they've been intruded on enough, and I'm just happy that they all were able to get the therapy and the help that they needed, and I hope that they all can go on to, you know, live a happy life and a private one. I just wanted to say thank you guys so much for listening. If this podcast is interesting to you, please don't forget to subscribe, and most importantly, leave a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. I am still running the giveaway for $100 cash when you send in a screenshot of that review. And you can find this podcast on Instagram at True Crime Cases Pod, on Twitter at TC Cases Pod, and on Facebook at True Crime Cases Podcast. Again, thank you so much for being here, and I will be back next Tuesday with a brand new case for you guys.